gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. It is written, and Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son. It is written, and it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him.
For God is just a prayer away.
And he stretched himself upon the child three times, and cried unto the Lord, and said, O Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came unto him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house, and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. Behold a stranger at the door. He gently knocks, has knocked before, has waited long, is waiting still. You use no other friend so ill. But will he prove a friend indeed? He will, the very friend you need. The friend of sinners? Yes, 'tis he, with garments dyed at Calvary. O lovely attitude, he stands with melting heart and open hands. O matchless kindness, and he shows this matchless kindness to his foes. Admit him, ere his anger burn, lest he depart and ne'er return. Admit him, or the hour is at hand, when at his door denied, you'll stand. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to this message entitled, Dead or Alive. Elijah the prophet jumps on the stage, Old Testament history, seemingly out of nowhere. We hear him telling Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain for the next years, but at my word. James tells us that Elijah prayed that it might not rain, and it rained not for 3.5 years. After such a prayer as this, it is no wonder that the Lord told Elijah to go hide at the brook Kereth. There he could drink water, and the Lord said he had commanded the ravens to feed him. The ravens brought bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening. If Elijah had been like us, he may have doubted sometimes that the ravens would show up for supper. As he scanned the skies each day, he probably thought of that poem by Edgar Allan Poe, quoth the raven, nevermore. The raven was listed in the class of birds considered unclean. What kind of meat would a scavenger bring to Elijah? Would it be a roadkill? Perhaps a dead skunk? Ladies and gentlemen, we can be sure, whether it was bologna or a porterhouse steak, it was clean meat, even though delivered by a dirty bird. Sometimes Christians wonder about their salvation if they learn the preacher who led them to Christ has gone astray. No need to worry. The Lord will honor his word, even though on rare occasions the bread of life is delivered by a dirty bird. After the brook dried up, the Lord sent Elijah to the city of Zarephath in the land of Sidon. He told him he would meet a widow who would sustain him. He found the widow getting supper ready for herself and her son, and when he asked for a handout, she said she only had a little meal and a little oil, just enough for her son and herself, and then they would eat and die. Elijah had a better idea. He said, "Make me a little cake first, and then for yourself and your son and the meal, and the oil will never fail until the day when the Lord sends rain on the earth." This she did, and the meal and the oil never failed. There was always meal in the barrel and oil in the cruse. This same principle is true today. Make the Lord a little cake first, and then for yourself. Let the Lord be your number one creditor. Pay him before the house payment, the car payment, the food payment, and there will always be meal in the barrel and oil in the cruse. Then something went wrong in the widow's household. Her son died. At first she blamed Elijah. She said, "You have come to remind me of my sin and to slay my son." Elijah took the child into his room, laid him on a bed, stretched himself on him three times, and prayed that his soul come back into him. God heard the prayer of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back into him, and he revived. His is the only resurrection in the Bible where it is said that the soul came back into him. While it is true this is what always happens at a resurrection, at the same time, this is the only time such a procedure is mentioned. When a person dies, his soul and or spirit goes someplace and eventually will return to the body at the resurrection on the last day. This is true both of the saved and the lost, but for now, we are concerned mainly about the righteous dead. Paul tells us in Hebrews in the roll call of faith that women received back their dead by a resurrection. Now here are several reasons from the Word of God why I believe the Christian dead is still alive. Number one is the stoning of Stephen. "And Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. He said, 'I see the heavens opened, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God.' And they stopped their ears and rushed upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. The witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul, and they stoned Stephen, calling on the name of the Lord and saying, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' He then prayed, 'Lord, lay not this sin to their charge.' And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. Stephen knew that he would die, but he did not commend his body to the Lord. It was his spirit he commended. Evidently, when a person dies, the spirit does not go into the coffin. For the Christian, his spirit goes to be with the Lord. Stephen was still alive after his body died, and he is still alive today. The Christian dead is alive. Number two is the thief on the cross. The thief said, 'Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom.' Jesus said to him, 'Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise.' The body of Jesus was buried that same day in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. But the thief was not buried with him. The spirit of the thief was with the spirit of Jesus that Jesus had commended to the Father, and they were both together in a place called paradise. The thief was still alive after his body died. Number three is the story of Jesus when he told the story of the rich man and Lazarus. He told of a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, faring sumptuously every day, and a certain beggar named Lazarus, who was full of sores, desired to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. The Lord referred to them both as a certain rich man and a certain beggar. He had two particular men in mind. The beggar died, and the angels carried him away into Abraham's bosom. The rich man died and was buried. Now, in this story that the Lord himself told, both men survived the grave. The beggar was seen in a place called Abraham's bosom. The rich man saw Lazarus afar off in Abraham's bosom and asked for one drop of water. Not even one drop was available. His body was in the grave, but he could still speak, feel, hear, thirst, and see. The beggar was comforted. Both men were conscious. After death, the most sobering thought you can have is to remember that 100 years from now, you are going to be just as much alive as you are at this moment. You will not be in your body. You will still be you. And like the rich man in this story, you will have all of your faculties. The experience of the beggar has found its way into our hymnology. O precious cross, O glorious crown, O resurrection day, ye angels from the stars, come down and bear my soul away. You will definitely survive life in the body. All the dead, both Christian and otherwise, are still alive beyond the grave. Number four is in regards to what Paul said concerning life in the body and out of the body in 2 Corinthians. He said, "For though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is for the moment, worketh for us more and more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if the earthly house of our tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Notice the contrast in that statement. Number one, he speaks of two men. You have an outward body, an outward man, and you are an inward man. Number two, the outward man decays day by day. The inward man is renewed day by day. Number three, the light weight of affliction is contrasted with the weight of glory that shall come to us. Number four, the things that are seen are temporary, and the things that are unseen are eternal. Number five is the two houses, the earthly house of our tabernacle, which will be dissolved, and the house from God not made with hands, which will be eternal. Then hear Paul as he makes this bold assertion. We are of good courage, and know that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. But we are of good courage, and know that to be absent from the body is to be at home with the Lord. The teaching of the Word of God is the Christian at death is ushered into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, again I say the Christian is not dead at death. He is very much alive. Number five tells us something of how blessed we are as Christians at the point of death. In Philippians, it is the Apostle Paul again who tells us, For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. And then again, I am in a strait betwixt the two, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for it is very far better. Yet to remain in the flesh is needful for your sake. Paul did not say that it is merely better to depart and be with Christ. He said it is very far better. He speaks of death as a departure. When we depart, we usually think that we are going someplace else. Paul says death is a departure. At death, you are going someplace else. We already knew the someplace else is to be with the Lord for the Christian. If at death the spirit goes into the grave with the body, then what list of things can you come up with that makes it very far better? How is it very far better if for the last 2,000 years Paul has been in the grave? Whatever your situation in life, it is very far better for the Christian to depart and to be with Christ. The Christian dead is alive. Number 6. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians, I know a man 14 years ago, whether in the body I know not, whether out of the body I know not, such a one caught up into the third heaven. Then he repeats it. I know such a man, whether in the body or apart from the body I know not, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. The Scripture speaks of three heavens. The first heaven is where the birds fly, the atmosphere all around us. The Bible speaks of the birds of the heaven. Certainly there will be no pigeons in heaven to foul up the golden sidewalks of glory. The second heaven is the heaven where the planets and stars are located. The Bible speaks many times of the stars of the heavens. The third heaven is the heaven where Jesus ascended and sat down at the right hand of God the Father. The first Russian cosmonaut came back to Earth and said he had been to heaven and did not find any God up there. His problem was he only went up into the second heaven. He could not get to the third heaven because people with the mindset that he had will not be allowed to get in anyway. Now Paul says this man probably himself was caught up into the third heaven, and then he repeated it. He called it paradise. Paradise is the place Jesus spoke of when he told the thief he would be with him in paradise. He said he heard unspeakable words, not lawful for a man to utter. We have no way of knowing what Paul heard on this heavenly visit that could not be described to mortal man, but we can be sure that the Christian who departs this life is listening to sounds at this moment, whether music or speaking that would make heaven worthwhile if we didn't do anything but sit there and listen. The Christian dead is alive. The seventh reason is because of the souls under the altar, as mentioned by the Apostle John in the book of Revelation. I saw underneath the altar the souls of them that had been slain for the word of God and the testimony which they held, and they cried with a great voice, saying, How long, O Master, most holy and true, dost thou not avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And there was given unto them, each one of them, a white robe, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little while, until their fellow servants also, and their brethren who should be killed, even as they were, should have fulfilled their course. John said he saw their souls. Ladies and gentlemen, did you ever see a soul? We see others in their bodies, but we never see them as souls. John did not see their bodies. Their bodies were in the grave. He saw their souls. This is another addition to what we already knew. The real person survives the body. In this case, it was the Christian souls that John saw, and he saw them in a place of rest, waiting for the resurrection. The Christian dead is actually very much alive. The eighth one is in the conversation that Jesus had with Mary and Martha. To Martha, and the Lord in the Gospel according to John said to him about her brother, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother would not have died. Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he be dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth on me shall never die. Believest thou this? Yea, Lord, I have believed that thou art the Christ, even he who cometh into the world. Now the Lord said that a person who believes in him would never die. That seems a little strange when we know of many people who have died. But Jesus said the believer would not die. I believe Jesus. It is the body that dies, but the real person survives the death of the body. The Christian dead now is just as much alive as he was while in the body. Another indication that the Christian dead are really alive. The ninth one is the encounter of Jesus with the Sadducees in the gospel story of Matthew. The Sadducees did not believe in life after death, and they presented a problem to the Lord. They said, "Lord, Moses said if a man marries and dies having no children, the brother should marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother." They told of seven brothers. The first married and died, and having no seed, left his wife unto his brother, the second also, and the third unto the seventh. And after them all, the woman died. Their question was, whose wife shall she be in the resurrection? First Jesus told them, in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels. Then secondly he told them, they were in error about life beyond the grave. He referred to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he reminded them that God said, "I am the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob." God is not the God of the dead. He is the God of the living. He is not the God of somebody who used to be, but of those that still are. This trio has been dead for over 1,000 years when the Lord spoke this. And he spoke it as though they were living persons. Think of it. You will be somewhere 1,000 years from now as a Christian, not dead, but alive. The tenth one is the transfiguration in Matthew, Mark, Luke. John, Jesus was transfigured on the mountaintop in the presence of Peter, James, and John. His face did shine as the sun. The fashion of his countenance was altered. His garments became dazzling, glistening, white as the light. Then Moses and Elijah appeared to him in glory and spake with him regarding his decease that he would accomplish at Jerusalem. We need to note that Moses was not raised from the dead for this occasion. His body was still in an unknown grave. It was not his body that appeared. Jesus is the one who is the firstborn from the dead, not Moses. Moses was there with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration while his body was still in the grave. No wonder the conversation with the Lord was regarding the decease that he would accomplish at Jerusalem. Moses and Elijah are still alive and well. The Christian dead is alive. Then there's the 11th one from the pen of the Apostle Peter. In his second epistle, he writes to remind us to be faithful and states it this way. As long as I'm in this tabernacle, it is right for me to stir you up and to put you in remembrance, knowing that the putting off of my tabernacle cometh swiftly upon me, even as the Lord Jesus Christ signified unto me. Peter refers to his body as a tabernacle, a house. And he says the time is coming fast when he shall have put off this tabernacle. He reminds us of the promise of the Lord before he ascended back to heaven. He told Peter, "When thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." This he spake, signifying by what manner of death he should glorify God. Ladies and gentlemen, it appears that Peter would die a martyr's death. And he knew he had reached the point in life when it was time to go. As far as Peter was concerned, to die was like taking off the body as you would lay aside a coat. Death, then, for the Christian, is like stepping from one room into another. Ladies and gentlemen, for these reasons and for many more we could bring out from Scripture, the Christian dead is very much alive. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, B-O-U-S-M-A-N, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel
as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition, tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.